Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. Today in worship, Pastor Dana takes a look at the story of David and Goliath. Let's listen.
I'm sure all of us are familiar with this story. We could probably recite it verbatim if we were asked to do so. So this morning, instead of reading that story to you once again out of the Bible, I thought I would show you an animated version of this story. So let's take a look at this animated retelling of David and Goliath.
God's story, David and Goliath. So part of God's story is about the time David fought Goliath, and it begins like this. David was the youngest of eight brothers. His job was being a shepherd, which meant he spent all day in a field watching sheep eat and roll around the grass. Meanwhile, some of his brothers were off with the Israeli army, preparing for war against the Philistines. The Philistines were one of the toughest armies the people of Israel had to fight. So one day, David was taking food to his brothers because his dad asked him to. But when he got there, his brothers accused him of coming so he could watch the fight instead of the sheep. Since David knew in his heart he was just obeying his dad, he didn't mind being misunderstood. Anyway, while David was there, he saw a huge Philistine man, more than 9 feet tall, step onto the field between the two armies. He was wearing a thick helmet and armor and carrying huge weapons. His name was Goliath, and he was definitely used to being the winner. David found out that Goliath had been stepping onto the field like this every morning for the past 40 days and saying,
"Give me a man and let us fight each other."
But nobody from Israel was brave enough to fight him, even the king. Well, David didn't like that this giant was intimidating the Israelites. After all, they were God's special family. And because God was with the Israelites, they could have courage in any situation. So David, who wasn't even a soldier, told the king, "I'll fight against him." Now, the king thought David was too small, but he really wanted someone to fight Goliath. So he gave in. And David knew he wasn't strong enough to beat Goliath by himself, but he believed God would be with him. So he said, "The Lord will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." The king hoped David was right. He even had his own weapons and armor put on David, but they didn't fit him. David decided to go into battle in his regular clothes. That's how sure he was that God would help him. Anyway, David went to a nearby stream and chose 5 smooth stones to use with his slingshot. Then he walked onto the battlefield to meet the massive Goliath. When Goliath saw how wimpy David looked, he was furious. He thought he'd get to fight the Israelites' strongest warrior. He said to David,
"Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals."
David might have looked like a wimp, but he was actually really brave. In fact, he was so brave that when he was taking care of sheep, he fought off bears and lions. Because God helped him protect his sheep, David knew God would help him protect this special family. David said, "You come at me with a sword, but I come at you with the name of the Lord Almighty." He was explaining to Goliath that God was more powerful than anything. He also added that he would feed Goliath's flesh to the birds, which made the giant even more mad. Then David took a stone, put it in the slingshot, and slung it at Goliath. Goliath didn't even get a chance to swing a sword because the stone hit him right in the forehead and sunk in deep. He face planted straight into the ground. And when the Philistine army realized Goliath was dead, they started running away like a bunch of scaredy cats. The Israelites chased the Philistines, shouting loudly. They had won. God used David, who was just an average kid, to rescue his people. And that's the story of David and Goliath.
It's a cute clip, and I know that we all know this story very well, but it's important to keep coming back to these stories that we know so well, because each time we come back, we start to notice things that perhaps we didn't notice the first time around. And we visit these stories over and over again, we can take a more investigative look at them. We can start to peel back the layers. Each time we reread a story, we start to notice more nuances of that story. We start to wonder and ask ourselves, well, I wonder why that detail was included, or I wonder why the story played out that way. For instance, how many of you have ever wondered why David picked up 5 stones from the riverbed? Have you ever wondered why he didn't pick up 7 stones? That was believed to be the holy number. Perhaps, why didn't he pick up 3 stones to represent the Trinity? Why didn't he pick up 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, there is significance as to why David picked up 5 stones that day. Bible scholars have unpacked these verses. They have taken a look at who David was in order to uncover and to identify the significance of these 5 stones, how each one of these stones represented something. Each one had a particular role, a significant part, which contributed to this young, slender shepherd boy defeating this big, burly giant. So this morning, I wanted us to take a closer look at David's life and examine this story a little bit more closely. I wanted us to peel back the layers and uncover what these 5 stones represent. And as we do so, as we unpack what these 5 stones represent, it helps us to see what we need in place in our own personal lives to face and overcome the giants in our lives. As we take an investigative look at these verses and look at who David was, it helps us to see how we are already equipped to overcome the giants that occur. Those giants in our lives being anything from chronic pain or illness or surgery to the death of a loved one. Those giants being addictions or feelings of guilt and shame or fears and uncertainties of the future. I'm sure all of us could name a giant or two that we have previously faced in life. Perhaps you can name one giant that we are currently facing in life. The giants of our present day lives are anything that is large and overwhelming and daunting. Situations that leave us feeling small and powerless. Looking at the symbolism of these 5 stones that David went into battle with, it provides us with insight and instruction so that we can face these giants that we come up against in life. These 5 stones help us to see that we're already equipped to overcome these giant hurdles in life. So turning to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 49, where this story occurs in the Bible, let us start to unpack these verses a little bit. In verses 34 through 37, David recounts the events of his life as a shepherd boy, remembering when he encountered lions and bears attacking his flock. He recalls how he chased the lions and bears down, striking them and snatching the lambs out of their mouths. One important detail to not overlook here is when David recalls how it was God who had previously rescued him from the paws of the bear and the mouth of the lion. David says, "The Lord rescued me, and the Lord will rescue me again from the hand of this Philistine." So as David remembered his previous victory over the lion and the bear, that victory allowed David to say with confidence that the Lord would be with him again in this battle. And that's what this first stone represents. This first stone of defense against Goliath represents remembering. It represents David remembering how it was God who had delivered him from harm's way before. Remembering those previous life events when God showed up and was present with him during scary and difficult situations. This is how David knew with certainty that God would show up again, that God would be with him in battle against Goliath, that God would equip him with exactly what he needed in order to defeat Goliath. This first stone, remembering, is one tool for us, or one of our weapons of defense that we can use to face and overcome the giants in our own lives, remembering our own previous instances when God was with us during difficult times, remembering how God has showed up during every trial and tribulation that we have faced, how God equipped us with exactly what we needed at that time. It's through remembering our previous victories that we too can know with certainty that God will equip us with exactly what we need to face and overcome the next hurdle in life. David's second stone. His second stone represents prayer. David was steeped in prayer. David wasn't just some young shepherd boy who sat around tending to his flock all day. David played his harp for his sheep. David would sit on a hillside in deep contemplative prayer. And as he sat there playing his harp, he composed these extraordinary prayerful songs. Those prayerful songs that David composed now account for 75 of our Psalms. David composed 75 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. David was fully armored with prayer, and it was because of this deep prayer life that he was able to face and defeat Goliath. So as we examine David's life a little bit closer, as we look at who he was, what he was about, and how he spent his time, then we can see how prayer equips us to face life's biggest challenges. It's with this second stone of prayer that we gain the armor that we need in order to defeat the Goliaths in our own lives. It's through having a consistent and deeply contemplative prayer life that we're able to face and overcome our biggest adversaries in life. The third stone from this passage represents realizing that the battle is in God's hands. When young David arrived at the camp to duke it out with Goliath, initially, David humored Saul. He put on all this armor. He put on a helmet and heavy mesh. And in the cartoon, we see David walking around and he falls over because he's not used to it. David was a humble, modest shepherd boy, and he realized that he didn't need to prove himself, that he didn't need to be something he wasn't or someone that he wasn't. He realized that he wasn't going to be relying on his own human strength in this battle. Instead, he looked to God as the source of all of his strength. As David headed into battle, he proclaimed with confidence that he was coming in the name of the Lord, proclaiming that the Lord was his armor and that the mighty hand of God had the power to defeat the entire Philistine army. David understood that he wasn't fighting this battle alone. He realized that the battle was in God's hands, that he didn't need heavy armor or a sword or a spear to protect him. He had the mighty strength of God helping him to defeat his largest opponent. As we come up against the giants in our own lives, this third stone reminds us that we never enter into battle alone. It reminds us that the battle is always in God's hands. This stone reminds us that we always face our biggest challenges in life, our largest opponents, with the mighty strength of God surrounding us. Therefore, we don't have to feel powerless in difficult situations. We don't have to feel small and overwhelmed by life's biggest challenges. And we most certainly don't have to rely on our own human strength and our own human devices in those situations. This third stone reminds us that all things in life, all battles, are in God's hands. The fourth stone that David picked up as he headed into battle represents courage. In Samuel chapter 17, verse 48, we hear how David quickly ran up to this battle line to start fighting Goliath. He didn't just meagerly make his way towards Goliath. He didn't approach Goliath with fear and trepidation. David ran up to the battle line. He ran up to him and faced Goliath with courage. Now, this is where the first stone and the fourth stone are very closely connected. The first stone signifies remembering, and that's what gives life to this fourth stone that represents courage. It's through David remembering his previous victories that gave him such courage to face Goliath. David remembered that God had delivered him from harm's way before when he faced the lion and bear attacking his flock. So remembering those previous instances of victory is what instilled this trust and confidence in God. It's what gave him a sense of courage that was unshakable. Eleanor Roosevelt spoke of this one time. Once she said, "We gain strength, courage, and confidence by each experience in which we really stop to look fear in the face. We must do that which we think we cannot." Every time we face our biggest fears, the giants of our lives, we gain more and more strength. Each time we overcome those hurdles in life, we gain more courage to face the next one. It's through facing each difficult situation that arises in life that we gain the strength and courage we need in order to meet life's next biggest challenge. So it's with this fourth stone of courage that we gain another tool, another weapon of defense for life's biggest hurdles. And the fifth and final stone is to be prepared for more. If you have multiple kids, or if you have siblings yourself, then you know that sibling rivalry is a real thing. The teasing, the taunting, the petty arguments that eventually lead to physical retaliation, that is real for siblings. This is a picture of my older sister, Dory. And we look so sweet and so innocent in that picture. We weren't. We were little terrors. The sibling rivalry was strong between us. There were loads of taunting and teasing and definitely instances of physical retaliation that occurred. Well, David had seven siblings. So David knew all about sibling rivalry. David was the youngest of all of his siblings, and so he spent his entire life being teased and taunted by them. But it was because of David's family dynamics, the fact that he had seven other siblings, that he knew just as soon as you had something smoothed over with one sibling, that another one was going to come around the corner stirring things up. So David learned at a very young age what it took to be successful against your opponents. It takes being prepared for more. So this fifth and final stone that reminds us of what it takes to be successful when we're up against life's biggest challenges, to always be prepared for more, to be prepared for another difficulty, another giant to come around the corner. Now, this doesn't mean that we go through life pessimistically waiting for the next catastrophe to strike. It just simply means that we recognize that from time to time, life is going to throw us a challenge or two, to not be surprised or caught off guard by them, but to just simply be prepared. C.S. Lewis once said, "There are two problems about demons. The first problem is to believe they exist under every rock. The second problem is to believe that they don't exist at all." This fifth stone encourages us to strike a balance between naivete and catastrophic thinking, to realize that there will be a hurdle or two ahead and to be prepared. So as we examine David's life a little closer, and really start to peel back the layers of this story, we can start to see that perhaps there is some significance as to why David chose five stones that day and why he didn't choose 3 stones or 7 stones or even 12 stones. David didn't just head into battle with 5 random, seemingly insignificant stones. He headed into battle with 5 very significant stones. He headed into battle remembering God's victories in his life before. He headed into battle steeped in prayer. He also recognized that the battle was in God's hands and relied upon God's strength. He went into battle with courage. And David was prepared for more. He was prepared to battle another giant if one just so happened to come around the corner. No matter how tall, how strong, or how overwhelming life's challenges might seem, remember that God is always with us. Like young David, who picked up those 5 stones and did what no one thought was possible, remember that with God, all things are possible. May this story of David and Goliath and the significance of these 5 stones take on new meaning in our lives. May it provide each of us with the armor we need in order to face and overcome the giants in our own lives. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.